Welcome to the April issue of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. This month's issue spans a remarkable range of topics, highlighting the diversity of the field we know as audio engineering. From reports of the Conference on Semantic Audio, which deals with the high-level meaning and content of audio signals, through forensics, to the effects of vibrations and a novel ionic microphone, the April issue is packed with the latest research and development information. Philippe Albert Gaultier and his colleagues from Montreal kick off this month's series of research papers with the second part of a study on sound field characterization begun in last month's issue. This time, they go into more realistic situations, using real sound fields and microphones, as well as a hemi-anechoic room and a reverb chamber. By means of metrics, they tried to distinguish three archetypal sound fields: a source in a nearly free field, a low-frequency standing wave in a reverb chamber, and diffuse sound in a reverberation chamber. Their method correctly identified the sound fields, although some conditions and frequency ranges were more challenging than others. While we're on the topic of sound fields, it's worth noting that we're planning a special issue of this journal on the recent conference topic of sound field control. The call for papers is repeated in this month's issue, so do consider submitting your work for review if you're active in this area. Moving forward, the influence of whole-body vibrations on musical experience is studied by Sebastian Merkel and Erkan Altinsoy. The question is whether the addition of body vibrations, which exist in some natural environments, such as concert halls and churches, can improve the listener's experience of audio reproduction. They found that any improvement depended upon the type of music and the specific vibration algorithm used, with the strongest occurring when using weighted low-pass filtering below 100 Hz. There's a further investigation of quality perception in the paper by Adam Borowiak and his colleagues on momentary quality of experience. Most experiments tried to measure listener responses in a static fashion, after a stimulus has finished, somehow averaged across the item. But in this new study, the authors attempted to make a momentary assessment during replay. They were looking for things like the influence of a video stream on audio quality preferences and the effect of coherence between audio and video content streams. One of the more interesting conclusions is that subjective tests that use short stimuli extracted from longer items may exaggerate the actual quality needs of consumers. Herman Kunzel and Paul Alexander go into automatic speaker recognition for audio forensics, showing how speech enhancement algorithms can be useful before attempting automated recognition. They found this to be particularly true when the speech was accompanied by noise from a car or a background of instrumental music. The performance of the speaker recognition system was most affected by pop music, whereas road traffic and restaurant noise didn't markedly degrade recognition. Imagine a microphone without a diaphragm. That's the theme of an engineering report by Hiroshi Akino and his co-researchers, which goes into the use of plasmas to create a diaphragmless ionic microphone. The authors managed to extract a useful audio signal from a high-temperature plasma by using FM demodulation of the shift in its oscillating frequency. It turned out to be difficult to maintain consistent performance because discharges in the air led to a wearing of the electrode tip and adhesions of the discharge products. You can find out how they did this remarkable work in this month's issue. Earlier this year, we held an important international conference in London on semantic audio. If you didn't make it there, you can find out all about what you missed in the report published this month. There's also a feature article by Francis Rumsey that goes into greater depth on some of the main topics from the technical sessions, such as the recognition and handling of emotional content in music signals, intelligent automatic mixing, and the use of social tags to classify audio material automatically. Talking of conferences and London, there's also a preview of the upcoming audio forensics event taking place from June 12th to the 14th this year. Chaired by Jeff Smith and Mark Huckvale, this will be the fifth such conference devoted to the subject, having become the hub for researchers and practitioners to exchange ideas and foster new approaches. If you work in audio for games, the 56th conference, also taking place in London but in February next year, is the event for you. There's a call for papers in this April issue, and as with the previous three AES Audio for Games conferences, AES 56 will bring together new and established professionals in the area. The conference aims to reflect the needs and interests of all working in or around the area of game audio, further the dialogue between existing industry experts, and create a forum for sharing techniques and technology. In AES Standards News, we publish our revised patent policy, which deals with what to do when AES standards work incorporates technology that is the subject of patent rights. We also bring you the latest news on audio products and developments, as well as a review of the 6th edition of Doug Self's book on power amplifier design. You'll find all this and more in the April issue of the AES Journal, available online now at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.